You're listening to the APC Podcast, the Association of People Supporting Employment First, with your host, Chris Davies. Today's podcast is brought to you by Reach for Resources, a nonprofit providing individualized, competitive employment services for people with disabilities. We believe our community is a better place when it is inclusive and everyone, regardless of ability, has the chance to be successful. Learn more at reachforresources.org.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Minnesota APC Podcast. We're so glad to have you here for what is Season 5, Episode 7. I'm your host, Chris Davies, and we're very excited about our guest here today, Hannah Ferney, and we're going to learn a lot about Hannah in just a few moments. But we've been sitting here having a little chat, and I think you're going to really enjoy getting to know Hannah and learning more about her. As some of you know, but any of you that have not watched or listened to our podcast before, I always like to start out by making sure the audience knows what APC is. So APC stands for the Association of Persons Supporting Employment First. It is a national organization. We, of course, have a state chapter here in Minnesota where we do lots of things, one of them being this podcast so people can come on and tell their stories and talk about their hopes and dreams for the future of employment for all people. APC is truly the only membership organization that promotes employment first, customized, integrated employment, same wages as everyone. We believe that work is indeed the pathway out of poverty and isolation. So that's just a little bit more about APC. And before we get into getting to know Hannah, we're going to do a visual description of ourselves. So I'll start with myself, and then we'll go to you, Hannah. I am a white male. I'm bald, and I have a red beard. Today, I'm just wearing a button-down, kind of dirty blue shirt, I would call it, and blue jeans. Hannah.
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I'm a white female, Caucasian, and I have brown shoulder-length hair. And I have a leopard shirt on that is 3/4 length for the arms, a gray leggings with a skirt attached, purple tennis shoes or dress shoes, and some bracelets on my wrist, and an Apple Watch, and some earrings. And this is my guide dog, Ledger. And he's a lab golden cross, and he's yellow.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Hannah. Okay, well, let's get into it, as I like to say. So, Hannah, I'd like you to start out, if you could, by just, you know, talking to me and the audience out there a little bit more about yourself, your background, and, you know, anything you want to share at this time to help us get to know you better.
Hi, I'm Hannah Ferney, and my name is
keep rolling.
My name is Hannah Ferney, and it's Hannah Ferney, Furney, and my name sign is H on the wrist. And then here's my guide dog, Ledger, from Leader Dogs. And you spell Ledger, L-E-G-E-R. And then this is my interpreter, Chris LaValle. And you spell her name C-R-I-S LaValle, L-A-V-A-L-L-E-Y. And I don't know her name sign. This is her name sign. So something interesting about myself is that I'm not from Minnesota. I'm from Ohio. I was born in Sylvania, Ohio in 1988. Yes, I'm giving my age.
I will not be doing that for our audience today.
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, which is right next to Sylvania. And at 3 or 4 years, well, let me step back. I'm legally blind due to bilateral retinoblastoma from the age of four and a half months old. The doctor found, my mom found my eyes going back and forth in the back of my head, and she took me to the eye doctor, and they sent us to New York, and all the doctors were on vacation at the time. Only one doctor was there, and he decided, let's do radiation therapy, where the regular procedure at the time was to enucleate the eyes, which it means remove the eyes. And so when all the other doctors came back, they saw the radiation working fine, and they just continued it. So, and when I was 3 or 4 years old, my parents got divorced, and I mainly lived with my dad, I think. My mom saw me some, but I think I mainly lived with my dad.
And that was in Ohio.
Yeah.
It sounds like, and you can tell me, and it sounds like it was fortunate that a lot of those doctors were on vacation, that maybe you had the best doctor.
Yeah, it turned out wonderfully. And I know that my church was in Toledo at the time was praying a lot, so God was in the works, or was mm-hmm. working out things. Well, I will tell you that I went to regular elementary school. Junior high, I went to private school, a Christian school. And high school, I went back to the same district that I went for elementary school. So it was public. And some animals that I have had besides my guide dog is we had a family dog named Macy, which was a Rhodesian Ridgeback / Boxer or Pit Bull. We don't know. And she was so cute. And then we had, I've lived several places now. And when my dad and stepmom came and got me in 2014, I had a kitty cat named Shadow, or there was a kitty cat at our house. Well, they came and got me, and when we got back, the cat was still there, and my dad said I could have her, so I named her Shadow because she liked following me everywhere. So I'm going to go back a little bit. In 2003, my dad married my stepmom. In 2007, I graduated from high school, and I went to college at Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio, from 2007 to 2009 winter. And then I said, I need to get more training, blindness training. And so I decided to go to Blind Incorporated in Minneapolis, Minnesota, because I had a boyfriend at the time. And there were three places in the country I could go to: Colorado, Louisiana, or here. But I had a boyfriend at the time, no longer. Mm-hmm. But that's why I chose here. And I moved here in January 2010, got into Blind Inc. in April 2010, and graduated in February 2011. And then I went My degree in my at Bowling Green State University, I was going for special education. And then after I went to Blind Incorporated, I think it's MCTC, but I don't think it's, I think it's Minneapolis College now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. What do they call it? Metro State.
No.
No? Thinking of something else then.
I think it's Minneapolis College.
No. Okay, Minneapolis College.
I got a, in 2013, I graduated with a liberal arts degree with honors and an associate's degree. And in 2014, I decided to move back home with my dad and stepmom. And when I moved here to Minnesota, they moved to Erie, Michigan, which is right over the line from Toledo. And I moved in with them and got shadow. That's when I got shadow. And in 2016, I decided to move in with my mom in Toledo. That's just how things worked out. And Shadow came with me. Oh, the reason why I moved back to Michigan is because Macy was still around, our pet dog, and my grandma, my best friend of all time, was still around. And she died in 2015 at the age of 102.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm sorry for the loss of your friend, but that is quite a life.
She had vision issues and hearing issues like I do, so we got along perfect.
Yeah. That sounds like a very important person in your life.
Yeah. In 2017, I decided to apply for a guide dog at Leader Dogs for the Blind in Rochester Hills, Michigan, when I was living with my mom. And I got accepted, and I went to class in July 2017. And the first guide dog, her name was Star. Mm-hmm. And the sign for Star is like this. It's so beautiful. I like the sign for Star.
That is a nice sign.
She was a German Shepherd, and I felt more secure with her because she was a German Shepherd, but things didn't turn out very well, and she only worked with me for 6 months. So then I got accepted in May 2018, and the first time I went to Leader Dogs, I went to the campus. But in May 2018, they came to my home in Minneapolis and did training there, and I really enjoyed that. And I got Ledger during that time. Leger. You gotta get it right. And it's from a horse race in Great Britain. I did not name him; he came named. And then while I was at Leader Dogs, I was looking up apartments to move back to Minneapolis. And I found an apartment. And I moved back in September 2017. The reason why I moved back is because we have a big deafblind community here. And I forgot to mention at the beginning, I am deafblind. And in Ohio, there wasn't very many of us where I lived. And there is good public transportation, the bus and the light rail here. And there's people called support service providers, and they help people that are deafblind with environmental information, guiding, taking them to the grocery store, taking them different places.
Oh, you're quite all right.
And so after I moved here, I started taking lessons in ASL from, let me step back a minute. I have some disabilities, and I already said I'm legally blind. In 2015, I was diagnosed with a hearing loss, and we think that's from the radiation treatment that I had as a kid. And then I also have autism. I just got diagnosed last year. And I also have a condition called POTS, posterior orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. I don't know if any of you guys heard of that.
No, if you're, I have not heard of it. If you're comfortable in talking a little bit more about that, our audience might be maybe interested.
Basically, when I stand up, my blood pressure does one thing, and your guys' does another. So I could faint, I could pass out, black out, get lightheadedness, dizzy, nauseous, headache, temperature intolerance, brain fog, fatigue, all those kind of things.
So when you stand up, do you stand up slowly then to try to mitigate that?
I should, but I don't always do that.
Yeah, me either. I'm like a spring out of a box.
In 2017 or thereafter, like I said, I was learning ASL from Lynette Boyer in Minnesota, and then later on, I went to the University of Minnesota to continue to learn ASL. Unfortunately, COVID happened, and I had to stop because they wouldn't provide interpreters at my house. But in 2020, I also went to Metro State and went for a degree, and a bachelor's degree. But during that time of COVID, I also had a secondary cancer called thyroid cancer, and my thyroid was removed. And in 2022, May of 2022, I graduated from Metro State University with a bachelor's in accessibility, advocacy, and minority studies.
Congratulations. That sounds like a really cool degree.
Thank you. And then a little after then or something like that, I've been working with different employment people. And right now I'm working with Helen Keller National Center. And I have an employment specialist named Lori McBride. And we're trying to find me a job. It's a long process because it's customized employment, which is working better for me than other employment routes. And we're at the point that she's doing some testing that we, like a couple weeks ago, I went to a support group and told my story like I kind of did today. And I'm going to do that next Thursday again. So, we're just doing that for now, but also in addition, a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you heard of LifeWorks.
I have, yes. Yeah.
I went to an inclusion breakfast for LifeWorks. This is my second year going, and a lady named Sarah spoke from the Airport Foundation.
Okay.
And she was said a blind person, she wouldn't mention who, or guy or girl. I think it's a guy, but I'm not for sure. But they're volunteering at the airport. And so I went up to her afterwards and said, I would like to do it. If he can do it, I think it is a he. If he could do it, I can do it. And yeah, Saturday I had orientation at the airport, and yesterday I went to go get my badge. So now we're just waiting on getting my badge and training, and then I'll start. I have five different trainings, and then I'll start be sitting at an information booth answering people's questions, I think.
Is that volunteer work centered specifically around accessibility issues, or is it all questions that people might have?
All questions in general.
Very good. Very good one. Well, I don't fly all the time, but when I do, I'll look for you.
Okay. I have babysat when I was younger. Those were some not volunteer. That was some job. And I have taken care of people's animals. That's another job I have done. Their dogs. I did some cats too. And also, I have been a part of different boards. Like, I was just a part of Minnesota Deaf Blind Association as a trustee on the board. Have you heard of Advocating Change Together?
I certainly have, yes. I've been to some of their events. I think I even spoke at one of their events.
Wow, cool. I am an advisory group or council for them, and there's a conference coming up, and I'm on that group for the planning committee.
Very good.
And then I have been on other organizations, but they don't come to mind right now. But one more that I've been a part of is, have you heard of the National Federation of the Blind?
I've heard of it, yes.
I'm on the National Federation of the Blind, Deaf Blind Division Board.
You're very busy. I'm very impressed. Very impressed. Can I ask you a question? When is the Advocating Change Together conference? When's it set for?
The Advocating Change Together conference is November 17th and 18th in Minneapolis.
Oh, so it's coming up. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. That's a Monday, Tuesday, I believe. Yeah.
I have a weird thing about calendar dates.
One more thing I would like to say is Ledger will be retiring soon. I have been on the waiting list to get a third guide dog from Leader Dogs for the Blind. I asked for a black lab in my interpreter's sake, to be kind to them, because he likes to brush up against them, whether he should or not. But then recently I changed it to Yellow Lab too, so I have more opportunity sooner for a dog.
Yeah, I wish you luck with that journey. Our audience, I'm not sure if they can actually see Ledger down behind our coffee table here, but Ledger does, at least in my eyes, looks like a senior dog. How old is Ledger?
Ledger is 9. He just turned 9 on October 26th.
Okay, yeah. Well, it sounds like he has been a wonderful dog for you.
He has.
Yeah. I'd love to talk a little bit more about your current employment journey. Can you tell me again the name of the degree you got from Metro State?
At Metro State University, I got a degree in Advocacy, Accessibility, and Minority Studies.
Okay. So are you in your employment journey, are you looking for something in that field?
Well, whatever Lori finds, I think it would work with my journey.
Sure. So it sounds like you're very open to possibilities, which is, I think, a good thing in any job search. You know, something you said really struck a chord with me. You're really doing a lot of the right things, in my view. You know, one of the reasons I'm very passionate about employment for all people is when I was in my 20s, I just had a period of time that was very challenging for me, and I was out of work a long time. And what kind of helped me start getting back into things was doing what you're doing, volunteering places, serving on committees, and, you know, just connecting with people. So you're really doing all the right things. Very impressed.
Thank you.
I on my walk this morning, have you heard of the Germanic I don't know if I'm right saying it right. The German Institute. It's in St. Paul. I walk by it every day. They had a big sign up that said they're undergoing a construction project to make the building, which is very old. The building's very old, to make it accessible.
Wow, cool.
And so I'm wondering if you have any knowledge about, like, are there people that go around and consult with some of these old buildings and institutes, things like that, about accessibility issues?
There's probably someone from the city that works with accessibility.
Yeah, I bet you're right. They had a list of a bunch of sponsors, you know, that are donating money to help, you know, with the project. But I was very happy to see that, I have to be honest, because I walk by it every day, so made me happy to see that. Any building that's working on being more accessible.
Another thing I would like to say is that I really like doing stuff with advocacy. And, like, I've gone to White Cane Day at the Capitol. I've gone to Deaf and Hard of Hearing, Deaf Blind Day at the Capitol. In Washington, a couple years, like, back in, I don't know, 2011, 2010, somewhere there, I went to a thing with the National Federation of the Blind called Washington Seminar. And that's where you advocate in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol.
Very good. Do you have any political aspirations? Do you think you'd ever want to run for city council or some type of office?
No.
Me either. I like doing it from my aspect. We all can influence in our own way, right? The best that we can. So sounds like you're doing more than most, that's for sure.
I'm excited to get a job, but I can't do computers very well. So it just has to be a job where there's not very much computer work. I like working on my iPad and iPhone, but not a computer.
Yeah, and I'm sure you and Lori have talked about that.
Yeah.
It sounds like, there's a sort of a method that a lot of us use in customized employment. Is it like Discovery or Discovering Personal Genius by Griffin Hammes, something like that?
I think it's like discovering different things that I'm good at.
Yeah.
One more plugin I would like to say is I discovered an organization a couple years ago at Disability Day at the Capitol. ACT, it's Advocating Change Together Disability Day at the Capitol in the summer a couple of years ago, and at the Advocating Change Together conference a couple of years ago, is an organization called Dream Life Destiny. And they are my IHS worker, and they help. There's an EA line, emergency assistance line, if I have any mental health or any questions or anything. It's 24/7. And then once a time a week, someone comes out and they talk to me for 15 minutes, and it's an emergency assistance checkup each week. And then I have IHS workers, in-home support, and they take me grocery shopping, take me to activities. A guy named Phil brought me here today, and they helped me. Lately, they have been helping me cook, and it's been so amazing. I'm really enjoying cooking. They help with reading my mail, just different things.
Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful support you have with them. So Dream Life Destiny is the name of the organization.
Yes.
I had not heard of them before today, but yes, I see our audience can't see, but you mentioned Phil. Phil's back there in the audience, and he's wearing a shirt. He's currently shouting out for us all. Thank you, Phil. It's nice to be adored, isn't it, Hannah?
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to admit, but I do enjoy attention sometimes, as long as it's positive.
Yeah.
So, you ended up, it sounds like, coming back to Minnesota for the community, for the support systems we had here. You know, I would say, and I think a lot of other people would too, that, you know, certainly in Minnesota we have a long way to go, but in terms of nationwide, we're ahead of many states in terms of support services and inclusive services and different things that support people of, you know, diverse backgrounds. And so, you know, would you say that was a real driving force for you coming back? And do you have any thoughts about other states might be able to catch up?
Again, for where to what? Did you say driving or drawing force?
Driving force?
Yeah, driving force.
Driving force?
Sorry, I went on a tangent there. I got very wordy.
Yes, that I think we have a lot of support system, different things for people with disabilities. One thing I forgot to tell the audience is that I have hearing aids in, and they go to this microphone that Chris is holding, and that helps me be. And I use interpreter ASL voiceover interpreters for different events.
Very good. Have you done, you know, speaking of events, have you done any presenting? Have you done any? You mentioned you were going to speak for a support group that you're in or at. Have you spoken at any events? Done any?
This spring, I spoke at a cancer event that was held at the University of Minnesota, talking about my journey with cancer.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've had a very interesting journey. Of course, it's far from over. But you really strike me as someone that hits adversity head on.
I agree with you. And another place that I speak at is each summer, and I've done it for several summers now, I go to St. Paul College and I speak to the interpreting class there for Linda Gill's class, and she just has me keep coming back, and I love doing that.
That's great. Yeah. I have a good friend. I think they went through that program there at St. Paul. They're an ASL interpreter. I think they went through that program there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, many years ago. But yeah, it's a very needed skill set. From what I understand, there's really a shortage presently.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, let's, you know, as we're sort of guiding into sort of our later part here of the podcast, first off, thank you again for coming on.
You're welcome.
It's been wonderful to learn more about you and, you know, part of your journey and some of the things you've been through. And you've stated you are a strong advocate. What kind of hopes do you have for the future of, you know, employment specifically for all people with disabilities?
That it continues to be growing with accessibility in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's not just Minnesota. It's not just the U.S., is it?
And I hope for myself that this volunteering that I'm giving back, that really is something that I'm going to enjoy. And I hope I can get a job soon that I will enjoy and be able to do from maybe doing this support group thing that I'm doing next week.
Are you able to talk more about that support group, or is it something that should be left more anonymous?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I went to one support group. Sorry, I forget where it was at.
It's okay.
But it was I think it's a blindness support group from Vision Loss Resources with a lady named Renee. And I'm doing one next Thursday with blindness again. People from Vision Loss Resources and Renee, but it's going to be in Plymouth.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, I've known some people that have gone through various things with Vision Loss Resources, and it's been a really huge asset for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and navigating, navigating their lives, so... That's great. Do you have any, before I kind of wrap it up, do you have any last words or words of advice you'd like to share with our audience out there?
Just go for your dreams.
Well said. And I couldn't agree more. Well, Hannah, thank you again. For coming in today, and thank you, Ledger, as well, for coming in. Good luck with your journey on your new dog. Does Ledger know? Well,
thank
he knows
you.
Now. That does he know you're looking for a new dog?
Yeah, he knows. Okay. And he's going to go live with my friend Pat.
Oh,
and
that's great.
She has another dog, so they're good friends.
Oh, good. So Ledger will still stay in your life in a way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm happy to hear that for all of you. Well, thank you again, and thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. This has been a really a treat, chatting with you today here, Hannah. And, I always like to finish off the podcast by just reminding folks to be nice to each other out there and never forget. Very somewhat like Hannah just said, if you believe it, you can achieve it.